Thank you, Julie. Well, you may have noticed that Numbers, Tim, sorry to tell you, play an important part in the Bible. Moses especially, he was a numbers guy. In fact, there's an entire book of the Bible called what? Numbers, that's right. Written by Moses and incredibly detailed and full of very precise numbers about all kinds of stuff. The census. Moses wanted to know how many people were this, how many people were that. The distance to different places, the time, the years, all kinds of stuff. Bunch of numbers in the book of Numbers and elsewhere. And there are some biblical scholars who focus on the various numbers throughout the Bible in an effort to unlock some kind of hidden mystery there. That's known as biblical numerology. I think most theologians think that's perhaps going a little too far and risking maybe missing the real point of what's going on there. But there's no, denying that certain biblical numbers are hard to ignore, mainly because of how often they appear throughout the entire Bible and often at very important times. For instance, I mentioned just the other week, I don't know if it was last week or the other week, that the number 7 appears more than 600 times in the Bible. Remember that? And that one holds the record. That's the most. The number 7 holds the record. In Genesis, for instance, right in the beginning, on the 7th day, God rested after the creation. In the book of Revelations, at the end of the Bible, there were 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 golden bowls, 7 stars, 7 hills, etc., etc. We mentioned the other day that Mary Magdalene, according to Luke, had been possessed by 7 demons. Yep. It's a number of unique significance throughout the Bible. But also, on a short list of numbers that seem to hold a very particular significance throughout the Bible, is a number we heard repeated in our readings today, the number 40. There's a recurring theme associated with this number 40, repeated over thousands of years, if you think about it, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's a theme often of trials and challenge, but leading through transformation to ultimate deliverance. Ultimately, it's a celebration in this theme associated with the number 40. Once again, starting in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 7, we learn that the rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Later, we heard in our first reading today, Moses was on Mount Sinai without food or water for 40 days and 40 nights when he received the Ten Commandments. In the aforementioned book of Numbers, chapter 13, we are told that Moses sent spies out ahead into the promised land to scout it out for 40 days and 40 nights. And when that proved to be kind of unsuccessful, unsatisfactory, Moses and his people were condemned to wander in the desert for guess how long? Well, they wish it would have been 40 days. It was 40 years. 40 years. Good guess. When the prophet Elijah, Jane's favorite prophet, fled the wicked queen Jezebel, right? He traveled 40 days and nights until he reached his destination. Many years later, we learn in the Gospels that following his baptism, Jesus was interesting, was led by the Holy Spirit, we just heard it, into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan without food or water for 40 days and 40 nights. And lest we forget, following his resurrection, Jesus remained with his disciples and others for 40 days before ascending into heaven. And there are many other instances of the number 40 appearing throughout the Bible. Why? Why? Why is that the case? Why 40? I don't know. I think it's impossible to know for sure on this side of heaven. We should add that to our list of questions, right? Why 40? Yeah, I'm sure we'll get an answer. But it is an interesting number. Now, the word quarantine, you like trivia, the word quarantine is derived from the number 40. It was an Italian word, and it was used to describe ships coming into Venice that had been coming from a place where they thought there had been the plague or some disease, and they were required to sit in port at anchor for 40 days. They thought that was a period of time when maybe the disease would dissipate, long enough for the disease or the plague to go away. That's where the word quarantine comes from, 40 days. It's also very noteworthy that 40 weeks is considered by most to be the full gestational term for a human baby. It's a life-giving term. So 40 is indeed a symbol of change, struggle, transformation, and deliverance. And today, in Christianity, we honor the importance of this number 40, in particular, the 40 days and 40 nights of suffering that Jesus endured on our behalf, commencing right after his baptism, right before his earthly ministry, during his time spent with Satan out in the wilderness. We celebrate that, recognize that with the period of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter. And the symbolism of that, the symbolism of Lent, which is a period of reflection and self-sacrifice leading up to the victory. That's the symbolism. It's a period of sacrifice and transformation leading up to the victory and the celebration of Easter. That symbolism is captured in those 40 days. And it's similar to the symbolism of most, if not all, of those other kind of number 40 events that we talked about. It's very similar. Periods of trial, struggle, and transformation leading to deliverance, celebration, and even freedom. Freedom. With the Holy Spirit leading us. And God commanding his angels to guard us, as we heard about in our responsive reading. The Holy Spirit with us, and God commanding his angels to guard us through them all, through those periods, all the way to the promised land. Now, as a side note, did you ever get a song stuck in your head? Yeah? Get a song stuck in your head? Now, that can sometimes be a bad thing, right? You got the Macarena stuck in your head or something like that. Can't get it out. That's not too good. Now, it can be a good thing, too. You get a good song, like one of our Grace House songs stuck in your head. That's a good thing. Well, almost 100 years ago, 1929, not quite 100 years ago, young Albert Brumley, there's a name for you, Albert Brumley, was picking cotton on a farm in Oklahoma. Now, I've worked in Oklahoma, believe it or not. All wheat, no cotton. I didn't know they grew cotton in Oklahoma, but apparently they did. And he had a tune, did Albert, stuck in his head, and he couldn't shake it. He wasn't positive at the time what the tune was. The song, it turns out, they later determined, was a song called The Prisoner's Song. Apparently, it was a very popular song in the early 1900s. One of the lyrics, and the lyric that he had stuck in his head, went like this: "If I had the wings of an angel, over these walls I'd fly." You know, he just had that, couldn't get it out of his head. So went the line, one of the lines of The Prisoner's Song. But Brumley, it was a secular song, it was that song. But Brumley, Albert Brumley, he was a gospel guy, and he actually wrote gospel songs, this guy did. And so he decided to use the theme of that prisoner's song as a metaphor of earthly life. And over the course, he did it over several years, evidently, he worked out a song. He wrote a new song. And he wrote the rest of that tune over the course of a couple of years. And Brumley said that when he wrote his song, he had no idea it would become so popular. He apparently wrote hundreds of gospel songs over his life. And this one really stuck, became very, very popular. That song went on to become the most recorded gospel song of all time. So they say. From a prisoner's song to a tune stuck in the head of a guy picking cotton in the cotton fields of Oklahoma to countless recordings and church hymnals, including our own church hymnal. It's kind of like the days of our earthly lives and sort of like the season of Lent. The hymn, "I'll Fly Away," is a story of trials, transformation, deliverance, and freedom. Amen.